fruit series, okay? So we're just going to have 5 minutes each day going over fruit of the Spirit. It's going to be exciting for you. I believe it's going to be impactful. I think it's going to help you. And it'll just give you something each and every day as a small truth to go through and be a help just throughout the day. And so as you see this, share it. You can interact with it, comment. You're always welcome to message us and me, and we'd love to hear from you. I was told by my good friend Brittany that because I don't move as much, because normally on Sundays I'm moving a lot, and obviously my hands move quite a bit, but normally I'm walking and going back and forth, that just sitting here makes me boring. So I'm going to do my best to get better with that. And so the thing I love about Britt is she's just going to tell you the exact truth in the moment. And so she's got a birthday coming up, and so don't forget that. Britt, I love you. Thanks for so much for watching. I know sometimes for you it's not as easy, and I know throughout this whole thing it's been tough on you. And so I love you. I wish you a happy birthday coming up. And so I'm excited to share this fruit, this today, fruit of the Spirit. We're going through love. All right, love is the one that we're going to cover right off the bat. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And so we're just going to jump into John chapter number 8. There's a story in John chapter number 8 that oftentimes we miss the true meaning of it. I mean, maybe you've heard of this, even for people who maybe aren't even a follower of Jesus, have heard at least this story and would even like this story, as far as hey, don't judge people, right? That's kind of what we hear a lot of, whether in church or out of church, by people. And oftentimes I think we would, above all else, miss this. We want to talk about love today. A lot of people, for them, they only know love, speaking the truth in love. There's five love languages. You've seen that book. And so for different people, love is more, maybe, I hate to use this word, but attractional in different ways. So we often question, what is love? What's the purpose of it? I know for me, whenever I even say what is love, I just wish the words to, baby, don't hurt me, weren't in my head. Sorry if it's in yours. I'm messed up. I've been locked up with a kid, so please forgive me. But you're going to find out that in John chapter number 8, verses 1 through 11, there is a story of a woman that is caught in the midst of adultery. Now, just right off the bat, I look at that and I think to myself, just, how was she caught? Why was she caught? Who caught her? There's just questions of really just kind of, if you stop and think about it, just kind of a different thought altogether. And you don't want to go there, but you think to yourself, for these religious people, that they find this woman caught in adultery, and they want to tempt and catch Jesus. They want Jesus to, in with this, they're going to test him. They're going to see, because he's the ultimate teacher. He knows all. He's saying just a bunch of random things. And so within this context that we find when it comes to Jesus here, what you're going to see is with him, it's like, what do we do? Jesus? And they don't really want his opinion. They just want to catch him in a lie. And so with this, it says, hey, if this lady caught in the middle of adultery, according to Moses, she's supposed to be stoned. And so these guys have the rocks. They're ready to do it. Now, keep in mind, when I've used an illustration in a sermon before, and it was way off, but, it gave everyone like a little rock that they could throw and skip across the lake. This isn't the type of rocks that would be used. These would be bigger, because obviously if you'd want to stone somebody, you'd want to have bigger rocks. Sometimes the first one would kill somebody. This is kind of gruesome, but it's just the truth. And so these guys have got these rocks with them. They bring this woman in. What a tragic scene. And Jesus, he starts writing in the ground. And so these guys start to ask. They say, hey, Jesus, what should we do with her? Jesus just starts writing in the ground. We don't know, with his finger. He's doing this. And all of a sudden, when this happens, he says these words. He says, hey, whoever doesn't have sin, you can go ahead and throw the first stone. And he's writing. And all of a sudden, these guys start dropping their rocks, and they start heading off, to the point where what a dramatic scene that would have been. It starts with the oldest to the youngest, because that's the way the system would work, is the higher ups, And so they're just walking away. And so they would just go one at a time, and then it would be the youngest, and then he's gone. Then it's just Jesus, who was down on the ground writing something. There's been many speculations. It's cool to think about, but we don't know what it was. And all of a sudden, it's just him and this woman. And he looks at her and he stands up and he says to her, "Where are those who have condemned you? Where are your accusers?" She says, "No one's left." Jesus says these words, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Now, I want you, just in my Bible here, "Neither do I condemn you" is highlighted. And then it says, "Go, and from now on, sin no more." And here's the part about love I want to share with you today that many of us miss. You see, the Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. What Jesus says to her is so powerful because in my life, for many years, I've got it mixed up. I picture Jesus saying, "Go, don't sin anymore, and then I won't condemn you." That's what I picture. Jesus actually says the exact opposite of that, which is this: "I don't condemn you. Now you can go and sin no more." It's his love placed on her that allows her the ability to leave and not sin no more. And in our lives, oftentimes, we properly don't know how to love because we want people to gain our acceptance and then we won't condemn them. You see, the power of the gospel and the power of Jesus is this: I love you, and because of that, you're able to change. I love you, because of that, you're able to go and sin no more. But we are constantly trapped on the reverse side of that, which is, if I do right and gain his acceptance, then he'll love me. And that's not how this works, because Jesus says to this woman right here, caught in the midst of a sin, he says, "I'm not going to condemn you. You can go and then sin no more." In our lives, what if we were able to bear that fruit and love those around us, regardless of who they are, what they do, and believe that if we showed them the love of God, that that would eternally give them the power to change, as opposed to constantly seeing someone that we don't agree with, don't like, and don't just meet for the first time and start yelling and preaching at them, and we wonder why it doesn't work. We come in with maybe not big boulders, but the big Bibles, and just try to just love people. Let the power of the gospel, let the power of God's love show through you, and that will give them the opportunity to change. It's one of the greatest stories in the Bible. In my life, for many years, even sometimes now, I still struggle to overlook it. In Galatians chapter number 5, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it says, "Against such things there is no law." Friend, listen to me. You love somebody, you will never have to apologize for it. When we get to heaven, we will not have to apologize for loving people too much. I want you to understand that. I love you. If there's anything you need, please let us know.